Good to see this number out this morning. We appreciate your presence. You're to be commended for the way we worship. It encouraged and edified me as we worship the God of heaven. I pray that our worship has been acceptable in His sight. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready, where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God, be immersed into Christ, and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Christ, and become a child of God. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the Ephesian letter in the second chapter, we're going to look at several verses as we begin our study. Ephesians chapter 2, and note with me verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. If you have your Bible, take note of that statement, by grace you have been saved. Then turn in your Bible to the book of Titus and the second chapter. And when you come to the epistle that Paul wrote to this evangelist, note with me verses 11 and 12 of Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Notice once again the Apostle Paul affirms that salvation is by the grace of God. And he also affirms that grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. Then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the Roman letter for just a moment and the third chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the third chapter, examine with me verses 24 and 25 for just a moment. In verse 24, he said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now once again, the Apostle Paul says one is freely justified. He says that one is justified by grace. But I want to talk about something this morning that may shock you. I want to talk about where grace cannot go. I want us to observe that grace is what God gives man in order for his sins to be pardoned. That man must accept God's terms without any doubt and without any controversy. Man must obey the gospel. But that does not mean man has earned his salvation in his obedience. Salvation is a gift of God. When one is baptized into Christ, it's God doing the work. God is taking away the sin. Man is simply replying and accepting the will of God and doing the will of God to meet the terms of pardon. But it is God who removes the sin. But I want you to think about how many lessons we've heard in regard to the grace of God. And in this lesson, I'll bring some of that out. But at the same time, I want us to think about that there is some places grace cannot go. And you may be shocked at that, and you may say, well, there's no place that grace cannot go. But I want us to examine several things in our lesson, and then the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want to bring out is where grace has gone. And when you stop and examine where grace has been applied, where God has shown His mercy and grace, where God has given and demonstrated His love, you'll be amazed. In your Bible, in the book of John, in the 8th chapter, you remember there was a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Here was a woman that was brought before Jesus, and the scribes and Pharisees said, this woman was caught in the very act. The law of Moses said, stone her. What do you say we should do? I want you to observe that they thought they had trapped Jesus, and that was their intent. They were not considering what the law said as much as they were considering how they could trap Jesus in some word to disqualify His teaching. And you remember that Jesus showed grace. Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground, and the people continued to look at Him. And then they said, well, what should we do? And Jesus rose up and said, you who are without sin, you cast the first stone. And it said, from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and walked away. And you remember that Jesus looked at her and said, where are thine accusers? And she said, "There's no one, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I stand amazed at the grace of God that this woman was forgiven of her sin. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Luke in the 7th chapter. And we studied this last Lord's Day evening. And we talked about the woman that was just identified in Luke 7 as a sinner. She was known in that city as a sinner. And yet she came to the Lord under these conditions. And you remember she wept tears on the feet of Jesus, dried His feet with her hair, kissed His feet, and anointed Him with oil. And you remember the Lord said something that was outstanding. The Lord forgave her of her sins. Grace came. That woman didn't deserve forgiveness. God gave her forgiveness. Remember, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life, Paul wrote in Romans 6:23. That is what we do not deserve. It's a gift. And forgiveness from God is God's unmerited favor. It's His grace. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Acts and the 2nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 2nd chapter, you remember that on the day of Pentecost, we see the very people that killed the Lord. The very ones that had yelled out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." And you remember that in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter, Peter is preaching to them. And Peter is telling them, "This one whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." And they looked and they said, "Well, what shall we do?" They were pricked in the heart by the teaching and preaching of Peter. When he proclaimed the gospel, the good news, the salvation of God, their heart was touched, their heart was cut, and they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And you know, my friend, in Acts 2, we read where 3,000 that day obeyed the gospel. There were 3,000 people that were forgiven of their sins and they experienced the grace of God. But then if you take your New Testament, look in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter, as our brother Jason read just a few moments ago. In Acts chapter 8, as brother Jason was reading about the Ethiopian eunuch, you remember that he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And that's to be commended, but he was worshiping according to the old law. He was worshiping according to the Jewish law, the Mosaic law. And you remember that he is reading from Isaiah, and Isaiah 53. And you remember that Philip came up and said, "Do you understand what you readest?" And he said, "How can I unless some man guide me?" And then in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, beginning at that scripture, Philip opened his mouth and preached Jesus to him. I like that statement. He preached to him what he needed to hear, and that man was baptized into Christ. He received the grace of God when he obeyed what God had declared. And God forgave him of his sins. Then you remember, as we talked about in our Bible class in the book of Acts and the 16th chapter, the Philippian jailer. You remember the Philippian jailer was one who we talked about, who was in charge of keeping the prison. And when the earthquake came, he feared that everyone had escaped and he was about to kill himself. And he remembered that Paul said, "We're all here. Do yourself no harm." And he ran and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And it said he began to preach to him the Word of God. And when he preached to him the Word of God, he was baptized in that very night. So I see the grace of God in many places. Then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Acts in the 18th chapter. And if you want to be surprised where God's grace went, look at the city of Corinth, that godly, unfilthy nation. And you remember in the book of Acts in the 18th chapter, the latter part, it said many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Now what kind of people lived in Corinth? Well, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 9 beginning. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's the kind of people living in Corinth. And notice yet what he says in verse 11. And such were some of you. You even lived that way. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I stand amazed every time that I think about God's grace for these people. What amazing grace God has showered upon people. But I want you to think of something else. How many of us have received the grace of God? Every one of us that made the confession and have been baptized is a recipient of God's grace. We've become children of God. We became heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We've become the children of God. We become people that are the disciples of Christ. And we are devout to Him because He loved us first. But that brings up the second thought. Where is it that grace cannot go? Can you just think about some places where grace cannot go? Well, first of all, there was something we can read about in the book of Mark in the third chapter that applied to their day and time. In Mark chapter 3, you remember that beginning in verse 22, that they ascribed the miracles of Jesus by saying that He was doing them by the power of Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And if you drop down to verse 28, He said, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Now, I've had a lot of people come to me and they say, Preacher, I'm fearful. I've committed the unpardonable sin. Oh, no, my friend, because look at what he says in verse 30. Because they said he has an unclean spirit. They saw the miracles and instead of attributing them to God, they attributed it to the devil. You and I have not seen the miracles, but I will tell you, my friend, we can deny the miracles. And if we're not careful, that'll lead us away from God. All the miracles did was confirm who Jesus was. They confirmed He was the Son of God. It confirmed when the apostles was able to do miracles that they were teaching the truth of God. But I want you to think about grace cannot go to those who want to live under the old law. As we examine the words of our Lord, we see that grace cannot go back to keeping the law of Moses. And that's very difficult for some to understand. And yet, my friend, it's plainly brought out in the divine revelation. Open your Bible to the book of Acts and the 13th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 13th chapter, notice, if you will kindly, verses 38 and 39. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. And by Him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You had to keep the law of Moses perfectly. You were to keep it in all points. And you could not be justified in the law of Moses. One could not have their sins blotted out because there was no perfect lamb. They gave a lamb and God took care of the sin. But I'll tell you, my friend, it took the sacrifice of God's only Son to blot out sin. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Galatian letter and the 5th chapter. And when you come to Galatians chapter 5, notice, if you will, kindly what is said in verse 4. Here were people going back to the law of Moses. They were practicing circumcision and teaching that was a command that must be kept. And he said, you've become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. You've gone away from that which can save you. So thus far, I see grace cannot go to the old law. But I want you to also understand grace can't go to someone who's perfect. But you know, my friend, there was only one perfect person, and that was Jesus. But I'll tell you something, my friend. I've seen a lot of people that act like they've reached perfection. They won't admit they've ever sinned. And I'll tell you that an individual that will not repent of their sin, an individual that will not confess their sin, they will be an individual that will not receive the grace of God. I'll tell you, my friend, those who refuse to repent, and I strongly emphasize this point here, they will not receive the grace of God. Wherever there's one that will not repent of their sins, grace cannot go. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, you remember that it said that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. You're to repent of your sin. You're to change your mind about your sin and change your life and conform and mold your life to the will of God. And when one refuses to repent, grace cannot and will not go. Have you ever thought about the ones in Acts 2? We talk about the 3,000 that were saved. What about the other hundreds of thousands that were in Jerusalem that were not saved? What about the multitude that did not believe? I'll tell you, you cannot be saved if you do not repent. If you do not confess your sin, grace will not come. God will not forgive you unless you're penitent. I've had a lot of people say, oh, my friend, I believe God will just overlook it. No, those days were over. Remember what he said in Acts 17? There was a time God overlooked the time of ignorance. But in these days, he's told every man to repent, all men everywhere to repent. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Matthew in the 23rd chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 23rd chapter, look at verse 37. When Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Now, Jesus, were you willing to forgive him? Absolutely, I wanted to forgive him. Well, what was the problem? They didn't want forgiveness. Remember, forgiveness is a gift. To start again, it's got the word give in it. It's something that somebody does for you. Many times what people want is God to forgive them, but to allow them to continue to live in a way that's sinful. And God said, that's not how it works. You repent of your sin. You change. If you don't change, you continue to ignore what I'm trying to do for you. You must conform to the will of God. And grace cannot go where folks will not repent. In Mark chapter 6, you remember Herod was sinned and listened to John the Baptist. What was the problem with John the Baptist? Nothing. He was preaching the truth. But Herod had the problem. What was Herod's problem? He was married to Herodias, his brother's wife, and it was in an unlawful marriage, and he would not repent. In Luke 13:3, what was it Jesus said? I tell you that if you do not repent, you likewise will perish. Grace cannot come unless one repents. And I'll tell you something, my friend. That's why so many are going to be lost in this day. It's not that grace could not come, but they keep it from coming by not obeying. God's desire is that we come to Him. And even on our best day, my friend, we still don't deserve the grace of God. It's His unmerited favor. It's His goodness. It's His grace. It's His love. It's His mercy. And grace cannot go when one will not repent. And when one thinks they're perfect, and when one tries to go back to the old law. But I'll tell you one other place grace cannot go, and that's in hell. You just mark it down, my friend. There's no grace in hell. If you reject God's grace here, don't expect to receive it there. There's no purgatory, as the Catholics teach. There's no way of getting out of it. Once you're in hell, my friend, you'll be there for eternity. God's grace is limited to those who are willing to accept it now. You want to know why we preach with urgency? You want to know why there's an urgent message? Because there are people who are dying and going to hell, and there's no grace in hell, but there's grace now if people will repent of their sin. And I'll tell you, my friend, one of the hardest things is to get people to see their sin. We want to call it everything but sin. We'll say it's a mistake. We'll say it's a blunder. We'll say it's a problem. We'll say it's a sickness. I'll tell you, my friend, what we need to call it is sin. And to think that God's grace can be in your life, and yet so many people reject it. So many people are puffed up, they reject what God wants to give. That God's not going to force it on you. If you don't want God's grace, God's not going to force it on you. If you don't want God's forgiveness, He's not going to force it on you. If you don't want His mercy, He's not going to force it on you. Remember, a gift has to be received. If someone says, I forgive you, that's a gift. But you have to receive it. You ever had somebody try to give you something and you said, oh no? You've rejected their gift? Many people do that to God. And may I say something else? Our repentance needs to be sincere. We need to be sincere when we go to God. We don't just throw up a prayer saying, Lord, I know I'm going to do it again, but here I am asking you to forgive me just in case I die before I do it again. We truly repent and are sorrowful. What does it say? Godly sorrow leads to repentance. What we need is the grace of God. But grace will not go where it's not wanted. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, God's grace is available to you. But you have to accept it. You have to come to God on His terms. And by obeying His will, God's grace will blot out your sins. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand in